Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host, Evan Ryer. Evan, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous Wednesday, late March afternoon in Duval. And look, let's jump into this thing. We are live here on the channel, as is typically the case, and looking forward to some late March mock draft talk with you, Evan.
Yeah, you know, I mean, really, we're at that stage, right? Where, especially considering that the Jags have already made it pretty clear that they're not going to be much, there's not going to be much activity in free agency going forward. I mean, really, we're just counting down the days to the draft, and it's right around the corner.
It is, or less than a month away, as you kind of pointed out there, and a lot of intrigue as it relates not only to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but those three or four selections. How are those going to unfold in front of the Jacksonville Jaguars? How does that play into the Jaguars strategy? Let's say if a Travis Hunter falls down there to five, it would seem almost a no-brainer that you have to just take him there if that's the case. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out in terms of the Jags and their stance about where they're going to sit, whether they're going to move, and then ultimately who they're going to pick. Now, some fun today here on the program, because I know you sort of fed a simulator, right? You went kind of AI-ish on us a little bit.
Yeah, I used to, especially in the early days of, I guess you could say, my writing career, and when I was in college, I used to spend hours on these mock draft simulators. I've always been a big fan of the Pro Football Network, the PFN mock draft simulator. Always felt like that was the most legitimate one. Because some of those, they will, you know, you'll get a trade offer that you'd have to be like stupid to offer or refuse. For example, I had one offer from the Cowboys in this simulator that I did turn down, because even though Jerry is the type of guy to just throw, you know, a stupid amount of resources at something for no reason, it was going to give me a second round and two third round picks, as well as only moving six spots in the first round draft. I said, you know, obviously Gladstone would probably be the kind of guy to take that, but I avoided that. I also ran it back a couple times just to try and make it as realistic as possible, because as much as I would love for the Jaguars to win this draft, so to speak, you know, that's not really the purpose of what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, that scenario sounds like it might have involved some late afternoon scotch.
Oh yeah. Jerry. You know, Jerry, he's going to be on it. I wonder if those prospects, when they get the call from Jerry, if they can smell it through the phone, but who's to say?
Yeah. Hey, look, he's earned it, right? Hey, let's get into it then. How do you want to run this back? You want to run it 1 through 7
I'll do the full draft, but okay, we can kind of go down the line of the people I'm picking. If you have any insight on guys,
absolutely.
So
with the number five selection in the first round of the 2025 NFL draft, Evan, the Jacksonville Jaguars select
Mason Graham. Nothing surprising there, right? Kind of the match consensus that, you know, most mocks have seen. In this version of the simulator, I didn't get anybody falling that I wasn't expecting. You know, obviously, if Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or somebody like that fell, that's going to be the guy I was going to take. There was a couple renditions of the simulator that I was able to get Will Campbell down to the fifth spot, but not this time. But yeah, I mean, there's not really much we need to say about Mason Graham that most people don't already know. You know, kind of just what's supposed to be a complete package as a pass rusher, a run defender, at that DT spot. Not the most exciting pick in the world, but the Jaguars need interior defensive help. That's just,
they need critical. A presence, man. They need a presence just on the interior of that defense, whether it's at the linebacker level or up front. And I've come around, I'm more and more Mason Graham guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to get there myself.
I'm there. I'm ready.
You're there.
Let's pick him.
All right.
I'm ready to pick him.
With some of the Jags, like, I, you know, it's not fair to compare to guys like Taven Bryan or whatever. That's years and years ago and stuff like that. But I, you know, it's kind of like drafting interior offensive line. You know, you really don't want to miss.
Right.
But Mason Graham is as surefire as a prospect as you're going to find on the interior defensive line. So
playmaking.
I think it makes sense. And, I mean, I could see a world in which someone like Mason Graham, I mean, Devon Hamilton could be a little bit in trouble, at least in terms of total snap count, just because if they go get a guy like that, like, I mean, I could see him impressing quickly enough to get in, like, you know, immediate starter, whether that would be at Hamilton spot or Armstead spot. I think Graham could potentially do both. But I mean, they're paying Armstead so much money and they're paying Hamilton a lot of money that it'd be interesting to see how they kind of, explain that or how they rationalize it.
Well, there's a lot of value in playmaking three tech defensive tackles. And Mason Graham looks to fit that bill. And I understand physically there are some concerns. He's not a guy that's going to have a wingspan or some of those other attributes that you like to see in defensive linemen as much. But you watch the tape. You go to the tape. This guy is a butt kicker. And it may also signal what this new regime thinks about some of the inherited talent, although we've heard some comments, Evan, that would lead you to believe that at least Mason Smith is a guy that they can see, you know, being a part of this thing in the coming years.
Oh, yeah. No, the hype around Mason Smith, of all the, I guess, you know, not advertised starters on this roster, Mason Smith has probably got the most goodwill right now, the most like optimism, because he did have a really good finish to the year. And there's clearly just a talented player there. A changing coaching staff, that's always a question mark on how, you know, they're going to get the most out of him and what their kind of plan for him is. But I don't think there's a whole lot to really discuss when it comes to Mason Smith. It's just getting him reps. So it'll be curious.
And you need more than one for the future. You know, like even if Hamilton and Armstead kind of roll off here in the next year or so, you know, you're thinking big picture. 2026 and beyond too. Now you take a defensive tackle fifth overall, you're planning on him being much a rotational guy, if not just an outright starter. So there's that to consider too. So it is Mason Graham there at number five for the Jags in Ev's simulator picks. Let's get to that next pick, Ev. What do we got there?
So next up, we've got a guy that Mason Graham has faced off against a couple times in his career already. Probably not a guy that he wants to be teammates with if he really cares about his Michigan loyalty. But Donovan Jackson, guard out of Ohio State, national champion, obviously. 6'4", 320, not necessarily, you know, a star on that team or even necessarily on that offensive line. But he is one of the better offensive guard prospects. He fell, you know, they kind of have him projected as like a 31 or 32, maybe into the first round kind of guy. So getting him at 36 is not necessarily bad value. He's very athletic. This guy is the type of dude that you could potentially even see going to tackle if need be. That's not generally how the NFL works. You don't typically go from guard to tackle. If anything, you go tackle to guard. But Donovan Jackson, I think they need interior offensive line help still. Don't get me wrong, I'm very happy with McCarry coming in, and I've got optimism for Hainsey. But overall, I don't think, you know, the Jaguars are necessarily in a spot where they can turn down a really talented offensive guard.
Yeah, I mean, you need two guards, obviously, and a center. It looks like the Jags in free agency have addressed guard and center. But even just from a depth perspective too, moving forward, how you need to look at that. And then with the big picture taken into account, and this should be an eval that they've got down, because if they're really, and you know, they are spending that much time on Mason Graham, that is a matchup that I'm sure between those two, or at least in games against each other, that you can certainly revert to. And it's been a good one for Michigan here the last few years.
No, for sure. Obviously Mason Graham's kind of gotten the better of them, but I don't mind having two guys that, you know, really have both have rings, both have experience, you know. I mean, I like that. So next up, we've got our first and only trade in the draft.
Oh wow.
Jags traded up. I made it happen. I gave up the
going six, back up. I like
yeah, I
it.
Went up. I only went up a few spots, but I gave up the 70th pick, the 221st pick, and the 2026 sixth round pick that the Jags have from Seattle to go up to the 66 spot because I really wanted to get Cameron Williams out of Texas, the offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Again, kind of a similar boat with Donovan Jackson in terms of, he won't be a starter this year, but you can't have enough good offensive line talent. And Cameron Williams is kind of a freak in terms of offensive tackles. I mean, 6'5", 318 pounds, like really, really athletic, has pretty good handwork from what I can tell as well, was a pretty big deal for Texas this past year, although that is his only season kind of as a consistent starter. So this is definitely a guy that you're not thinking, you know, could potentially come in and give Walker Little or someone a run for their money. This is a guy that you definitely want to develop. But overall, just all the different kind of physical attributes and general talent that you need out of a offensive tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, if you wanted the Jags to go OL, Ebbs going OL.
This is boring. I know. It's a boring little.
You listen to people talk that do this stuff day in and day out, minute in and minute out, and they tell you it's an OLDL draft. So
yeah,
it kind of makes a lot of sense at this point, I think, Ev. So you've got Texas coming back into the second, though, to get this done.
Well, yeah. This was technically, at the very, very end of the second. Yeah, okay. The last pick or the second to last pick of the second.
Gotcha.
Only like four or five spots, but you know, it was a guy that also a lot of draft boards have him in the 40 to 50 range.
Yeah.
When I saw that he was available still, I was like, okay, I want to try and move up and make that happen. I am so tired of offensive line issues. I'm so tired of talking about it with you that I think that was part of why I was like, yeah, we're going to at least spend some high value resources.
I like
on
it.
That.
I think some folks maybe at this point might be thinking wide receiver or maybe corner or maybe even tight end, but you know.
Yeah. Well, those positions all get hit, but at the 88 spot, I actually don't go corner or wide receiver, but I do go safety.
Okay.
I go with Andrew Mukuba out of Texas as well. Mukuba was at Clemson and then came over to Texas. Mm-hmm. Had a pretty impactful year at Texas, kind of was able to get his hands on the ball a little bit more interception wise. He's definitely a ball hawk type guy. He's a playmaker. And I still don't feel great at safety. Now I will say, in terms of like, obviously for this year, Murray and Savage, those are going to be your starters. Like those are the out and out, but in terms of the depth behind them, I mean, Antonio Johnson hasn't shown us much to be optimistic about. And we all love Dewey Wingard, but he is Dewey Wingard. It's not, you know, it's not a ceiling kind of situation there. It's a floor. The only reason why I went safety in this spot was because the guys that were around at this point, not really great value in terms of corner or wide receiver or tight end. So I had to kind of delay that and instead went for another position I thought we need help at. And then also a guy that, again, was projected to go higher than the 88 spot. I think he was projected to go in the late 70s. I'm all about value there. I've got Mukuba coming in. Now, after that is when we finally get to wide receiver with Ty Felton out of Maryland, who, if you've watched him at all this year, he was one of the few.
So what round are we in and what pick are we talking about there?
Okay.
That's okay.
So now we are at the, this is the third round or no, okay. The fourth.
108. Is that the pick or
107? Yeah. Okay. 107. That's all the right. Fourth round. Ty Felton's coming out of Maryland. This dude is ridiculously fast. He's 6'1". So not exactly a tiny, tiny guy, but not huge either. Very, very slippery kind of dude. And I know that the Jaguars kind of, you know, tried to add someone else like that with Dwame Brown, but I kind of was thinking this is just an out and out fist spot. You're going to have Parker Washington as your fourth. This is a guy to kind of battle with Cephas, with Tremel for that fist spot. And a dude that I think if he gets on the field, is going to surprise some people in terms of making plays. Like I said, very quick, high top speed, in the right package, in the right situation. I think that he could be one of those kind of what maybe they wanted, you know, from other guys over the past few years that they've added as kind of deep options. This guy could potentially be a punt or kick returner, like a Duvernay type. That's what I was trying to think of, like what they kind of wanted out of Duvernay. I could see that working here. But yeah, Ty Felton out of Maryland. I'm guessing most people haven't watched a ton of Maryland this past year, but he was a bright spot on that offense that wasn't always as good as a Maryland offense and kind of the modern Maryland setup is supposed to be.
So with the next pick, are we still in the fourth round?
Yeah, we're at 126.
Gotcha.
And this is Kobe Bryant out of Kansas. Kobe Bryant is a corner out of Kansas. A lot of experience, a very physical guy, but he's not. The only issue is that he's a little undersized for what you want. He's 6'1", 180, not a huge dude, but very well known for fighting, for getting up in a dude's grill, trying disrupt a route, trying to, you know, get past blockers to make a tackle on a bubble screen kind of thing, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think you need all of that you can get in the NFL. I could see him, you know, kind of sliding in as maybe that guy behind Tyson Campbell, behind Jarian Jones, you know, somebody to make Monteric Brown and Deontre Prince kind of work for their spot. But yeah, that's the only corner I'm taking in this draft, which I know some people might be, you know, thinking, nah, I would probably get two, but you know, I went heavy on the lines of scrimmage early. Mm-hmm. Then as we get to the mid rounds is when I started to go for kind of skill position for DBs and wide receivers.
It'll be interesting though, because stylistically guys that are going to fit this new defense, to kind of not only see who they pick and who they sign, but the guys that the staff is inheriting. You know, there's some guys that, as we've seen in the past, they benefit greatly from regime change. And then there's other guys that kind of get phased out based entirely on, are we going to play a lot of press man? Are we going to play more eyes to the quarterback and zone and those type of concepts? That'll be fascinating to watch. So where are we going from here, Ev?
We are now at pick 142. This is probably the number of all the picks I made in the draft, the one that I was not the most pleased with. But I went with Danny Stutzman, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. You know, linebacker is not necessarily something that I don't think the Jags are going to, they'll probably take a linebacker just because they have enough picks, but that's not really the target area, I would say, for this draft. But Stutzman was a good value at 142. He had fallen probably 20 spots below where he's projected in their simulator. He's not a game changing kind of dude in terms
of dynamic.
No. Yeah, he's not very dynamic, but I think that there's a sense of solidity there, definitely when it comes to stopping the run, that the Jaguars kind of need. I mean, you know, Loakun's a very good run stopper. He makes a ton of tackles. We like that about him. But I still, with, you know, Devin Lloyd and Ventrell Miller, you know, obviously is very exciting just based off what we've seen so far.
His health, but injury history,
that, and then Devin Lloyd is also kind of just hit or miss. It kind of seems like, what week are you getting Devin Lloyd? You know what I mean? I like Stutzman as a rotational depth guy, someone to, you know, maybe take Muma's spot if they, you know, that's that Muma's, you talk about regime change, that could go either direction. Like
a lot of these could, man.
Like
Devin Lloyd could.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think, you know, it's not a bad idea to get a linebacker late in the draft. Stutzman, you know, maybe not the exact kind of profile of linebacker you like to take late in the draft. You typically like to take someone who's like just a crazy athlete who doesn't have the tape to match up with.
I think intangibly, though, when we talk about culture shifts, this guy could fit that.
Yeah, absolutely. I also had a lot of success as a blitzer at Oklahoma.
Good pass rusher.
That's always that's an interesting thing too. Another thing that we have to kind of figure out, you know, what kind of defense, you know, we talk about, is it's going to be a multiple defense, whatever, but you know, how aggressive are the Jaguars going to get in terms of blitzing, in terms of coverage, all that stuff.
Yeah. And a guy that, you know, at that point in the draft, you're thinking about core special teams. And typically that's a position you draw from for kickoff coverage, returns, those type of teams in the kicking game. And I think he could be Dewey like maybe from that perspective.
Yeah. I agree. In terms of the next pick, we are at 182 now. So I believe we're in the sixth round, which we also traded away that seventh round pick. So these two sixth round picks are our last picks of the draft. This is where we finally add a tight end. We're going Mitchell Evans out of Notre Dame. Okay. 6'5", 253 pounds, very athletic, not necessarily the most proven guy, but this is kind of the situation where I could see this dude being more of a, you know, like a tight end that's not a tight end. Right. You know, the kind of Evan Engram almost profile. Now he's a bit thicker, he's a bit slower than Evan Engram, but his profile at Notre Dame was more of a red zone threat than it was as a
full. And they want to run the football. And if you're 6'5", 255, that works, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a lot of the mocks and a lot of different stuff kind of state that the Jaguars need tight end. And don't get me twisted, I totally get it, but I just don't see a world in which they're going to invest a high pick on a tight end, even though there's some good tight ends in this draft. Mm-hmm. Just because I think one, they're very optimistic about Brenton Strange. I know we are. And then you sign Johnny Munt and Hunter Long. I mean, you've got three guys that are NFL caliber tight ends.
They've made it more through free agency where neither one of those guys are going to make you forget about Mark Bavaro or Travis Kelce or anyone. You have a room at least at tight end.
You have two guys that are proven blockers. Johnny Munt has, depending on the situation, kind of, you know, proven that, you know, or just gotten attention in terms of the passing game. Right. So, you know, I personally wasn't going into this draft thinking tight end somewhere. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's definitely some value. There's definitely some really good tight ends in this draft. But who knows, maybe they go for it, but I just don't think that would be the best use of resources personally. I'd rather spend that on, again, lines of scrimmage or, you know, secondary or something like that.
I'm good with any tight end, by the way. I'm good with any tight end from Penn State or Notre Dame.
That's the other thing, too. Yeah,
as long as you take a tight end from one of those two, probably going to be all right.
Generally going to be cool. last but not least, at the 194 spot, we go with a Bama guy, Tim Smith.
Yeah, to
Tim Smith, right
D tackle. There you go.
Yeah, double DT, two DTs in this draft, which I do not mind one bit.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. I want to believe that Jordan Jefferson is also going to be able to, you know, just like Mason Smith, take a step forward. But I'm kind of at a point with Tyler Lacy that I don't really, you know, I'd rather go try and develop a guy than run Tyler Lacy back out there as your last rotational option. And I think Tim Smith could do that. Not necessarily a great, you know, stat line when you talk about his time at Alabama. However, really, really good in terms of getting off the block and immediately making the tackle. Doesn't miss a lot of tackles. We saw some stuff when we were watching Bama this last year. We saw an improvement in terms of his pass rush win rate. So there's optimism there too, that maybe this is becoming a two-dimensional guy, at defensive tackle. So
yeah,
Tim Smith,
a bit of an enigma at Alabama because he was a highly regarded recruit coming in, saw the field relatively early, played a lot of football at Alabama.
Yeah.
Did have stretches where you could see him being a factor at the next level. He has the physical attributes. The only thing I wonder about with him a little bit of a tweener between a 3-4 end and a 4-3-3 tech. But again, a lot of the physical attributes you like the experience playing so much like he did at a place like Alabama. So look, there's worse six round picks I think you can make than Tim Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of the last guy you're going to add in this draft, I'm not mad. But that is 9 total selections, even with trading away, you know, our last pick of the draft. I think that's a little, you know, you're, it's never a bad thing if you have more than seven. So if you have more
and you check, and I think seven, you checked primary boxes when you think about this. Yeah, team
I think
this
every
roster.
Single position group that needs to be addressed is addressed in this draft. You know, I could see some people taking issue with the order of it, like, you know, maybe wide receiver or corner sooner than the fourth or fifth round. You know, I personally kind of, I'm very optimistic about the wide receiver group right now. And I also think that Tyson Campbell, Jarian Jones, and Jordan Lewis as your three, you know, with Monteric Brown and Deontre Prince, who, you know, while obviously have very clear ceilings, they've played a lot of football over the past year or two with the Jaguars. So, you know, I like the idea of your rotational options being guys that know the team well. I don't know if, you know, adding a youth or adding a young player is necessarily, like, to take one of those spots is necessarily the best move at the moment. But with somebody like Kobe Bryant in that kind of fourth to fifth round spot, he at least provides competition. You know, if he shows off, then
some
great.
Depth.
But yeah, I'm not mad at it. You know, like I said, I was going for more realistic than I was going for let's abuse the simulator and see what we can get out of it. I mentioned before that, like Jalen Walker, who's like, should be a 14th or 15th
Georgia linebacker
pick. The linebacker out of Georgia. He fell to me in the second round in one of the mocks. And I basically started over because I just said, there's
that
no
ain't
way.
Happening.
Yeah, like
Walker's not falling to the second.
I will say this: if that's
if he's there in the early second,
I know that there's a whole rep. There's a whole rep about Georgia players and stuff.
Run the pick to Green Bay. You know?
There's a whole rep about Georgia players that, you know, they're bad eggs and stuff.
But Jalen Walker, guys had that for a while too.
Yeah, but Jalen Walker is not that dude.
No, he is. That's what I love the most about him is you know every snap what you're going to get from that guy.
Yeah, he was
on top of everything.
Part of that
else.
Leader or part of that leadership, like part of that locker room. So
intangible fit for sure, Jalen.
That would be the perfect example of a guy.
I wouldn't
that
be mad if the Jags traded back and took him. You know,
That would be cool. Like I said, I did get some offers to trade back, and you know, if I got some of the if I was Gladstone, I got some of the offers I got, I would definitely be moving back. But you know, it's going to be interesting because those trade offers that they get in real life will absolutely depend on what kind of guy with those first four picks. Like, if for some reason, you know, one of the quarterbacks doesn't get drafted and they fall to the fifth spot. I mean, the Jags are going to be in a really nice position.
Yeah.
To basically say,
how bad does at five, if Shadur doesn't come off the board in the first four, how, you know, we're going to find out real quick what his value is.
Yeah.
Because if teams aren't going up there to get him at five, he could be waiting a while.
I was also seeing, I thought it was interesting because pretty much every time I did the mock draft simulator, the Titans were selecting someone different. They were going Cam Ward, then Shador, and then Abdul Carter. So I don't see them not going quarterback. I mean, I don't see how they not whatever.
I don't see how they.
But really, of those guys that are in front of the Jags, I mean, don't be wrong. I'd be excited for Travis Hunter to fall, but Abdul Carter's the guy. Like that's the number one dude I want, and I just don't see how we get him. But you never know.
Well, Ev, it was a lot of fun, my man.
Yeah, I know. I kind of talked up a storm there, but
no, you had your draft ready to go. I loved it. It's great. Yeah,
maybe we do another one right before the draft or something like that.
Run that simulator. Yeah, let's do it.
And we can have you do one too. That way we can kind of compare and contrast.
Sure.
But yeah, no, this was fun. As usual,
a lot of fun here at Party Girl in Avondale. A lot of good stuff going on. Chex Mix being freshly made back here in the kitchen. Soup of the day today, Evan, a potato Gruyere with fresh bacon on top of that.
I haven't eaten lunch yet, so you're going to kill me.
Yeah.
You're going to, I need to go get lunch right now because of that. And I unfortunately can't get a chicken salad sandwich and potato Gruyere soup. So I will have to settle for something else. But
yeah, you'll be all right.
I got to go in the store last week, and that was really awesome.
Yeah.
Got some chocolate covered cherries for the drive home.
Yeah.
Which, man, chocolate covered cherries, those are addictive.
Yeah.
I probably finished that bag before I even got to the Alabama state line.
Before you got to Live Oak.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, awesome. Anything else?
No, I think we're good, man. We'll check in next week with anything pressing, but continue to have some fun with the upcoming 2025 NFL draft. Ev, look forward to doing it again real soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks for tuning in to No Sleep Teal here on a Wednesday. Until next time, so long, everybody.